Welcome, listeners, to another Retro Answer Me This, 167.
Yeah, not as retro this time, though. Only going back to 2011, so my maths is not amazing. What's that, 6 years?
6 years. February the 17th, it made its debut. I'd just done jury duty. I'm talking about it in this episode, which still is an amazing experience to me. I had a lovely time.
And I've still never done
it. I'm so
sorry for
you.
And I still really like to do it.
It is just as good as you would expect, Ollie. But also, at the time, it was particularly useful because when you're a freelancer, you get paid to be there. And I would not necessarily have got paid if I had not been there for doing something else. So I was like, I get paid and I get to do jury duty. This is the best gig ever.
Yeah, I guess you could kind of work as well, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Or did you have your phone taken off you the whole
time?
Well,
I didn't have an iPhone at the time, so I couldn't do any work on my Sony Eco phone that had like a pedometer in it and no other features. I was very late to the touchscreen.
Wow. I can't believe you still had that phone in 2011. It was like you and some Gambian farmers.
And also, there's the whole blast from the past. In this episode, we make a joke about whether Ed Balls will become Prime Minister. So was this pre-Miliband battle?
I'm struggling to position what was going on exactly in the Labour Party at the time. Obviously, it was after the 2010 election because it was 2011.
That's right.
But I can't remember now what was happening there. But I know that it was about 2 months before the day which has become known as Ed Balls Day, the day that Ed Balls famously tweeted out his own name. So even though it's a dated reference to Ed Balls' political career, because he's now known more as a dancer and light entertainer, nonetheless, we were prescient, I think, in talking about a resonant political figure from the shadow benches.
We're talking about London Bridge in this episode, and Martin and I, a couple of months later, actually went to Lake Havasu City in Arizona to see the old London Bridge. We went there on our honeymoon.
Was it a highlight?
It was pretty great. It's like Wee Britain in Arrested Development, where they've built a really shit-looking pillar box and a really shit-looking pub under an old London bridge over a purpose-built lake.
It's a bucket list destination, isn't it?
It's a big spring break destination, apparently.
Mm. And, well, you're Miss Spring Break, aren't you?
Spring Break!
Of all my friends, if I'm going to think of anyone who would be, you know, tits akimbo, lagered up and windsurfing, it would be Helen Zaltzman.
That is what I'm doing right now. Yeah, I enjoyed listening back to this episode. However, the email jingle gave me pause. It is one that I don't play anymore. It's sung by our friend Josie Long. It's based on the Ting Tings, because Martin will often do these jingles based on a usually female-fronted electronic pop act that he likes at the
time.
Yeah,
there's another really beautiful one later in the episode that's based on Florence and the Machine,
yeah,
which we haven't played for years,
no,
too, which is good.
Because it's advertising our book, and we don't know where you can even buy that anymore.
And we don't get any royalties if you do.
No, just buy it for your own fun if you see it. But the Ting Tings one, Josie's sort of playing a character in it, which was based on a relative at the time, and she's kind of riffing on that racist relative. Unfortunately, what she says now is what people say. So it's a joke that, I mean, it's a bit dicey then, but now it's bleak to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're being oversensitive there. I think our audience have heard that jingle now, if you've been listening for 10 years, like,
yes,
you know, 15 times. They know it's a character. But yes, I can see that we probably wouldn't originate that jingle now. Yes.
So I just wanted to mention that I wasn't like, ha ha ha, people telling immigrants to go home is funny. And like, that's actually something that pains me an enormous amount.
There's also a reference to my fake tan, as if that's something that I do regularly. Now, I don't think I've applied fake tan since about 2011, so this is very much the tail end of that trend.
Maybe that was what you did in your 20s, but you have been... I don't think you've looked pastier. You've just looked more a natural colour in your
30s.
Well,
I do have blotchy red cheeks still. I've just stopped trying to blend them in.
I don't really notice that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm pleased that I don't come across as an excessively rouged man.
I don't think blotchy red is such a bad look on the face.
Okay,
it works for mortadella.
We should thank our sponsor for this episode, Squarespace.com.
We absolutely should. And you should thank them, listeners, if you've been thinking, I want to create a website. I want it to look great. I have no idea how to do that. They're ready for you. Go to Squarespace.com.
They're ready and waiting and panting and moist in the sense of an internet service provider being excited for your customer.
I had not noticed the moisture.
It's a traditional way that word is used.
If you go to Squarespace.com, you can try out all of their stuff for 2 weeks for free. And then if you like it and you want to keep the website that you've been tinkering with,
and get a free URL,
you can get 10% off for a year's subscription to Squarespace using the code
Answer. And if you want to see an example of a magnificent Squarespace website, it's not really magnificent. It took me about
it's
6 hours to build.
It does the job.
Go to answermethisstore.com, which also just happens, I mean, it's funny that I'm mentioning it,
it's
also just happens to be the place where you can buy our archive episodes, our first 200 episodes. So if you're enjoying these trips down memory lane,
get more trips down memory lane. It's a long lane.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a 200 episode lane.
And we sell the episodes in blocks of 10 for £7.99 each. So if you like this one, you're unlikely to hear another one from this collection. Well, certainly this year on the free feed. So if you like it, buy it.
I actually had to buy it in order to listen back to this episode because I didn't have the file. But the website was very user-friendly. So well done, Ollie. Mm. It was easy to buy it.
The money does go back to us. So you're sort of... Yeah. You know, only buying it by putting some more money in another pocket. Yeah. I suppose we got charged commission. You've lost about 30 cents there.
And then you and Martin get a share of it. So
that's true. Yes, it is your money. Fair enough. And if you would rather hear some new Answer Me This, all new stuff, then we'll be back in the first Thursday of May with a brand new episode.
Yeah, we will. But now get ready for this old one. Answer Me This, episode 167.
Why is there so much CSI in existence?
Answer me this, answer me this.
Will Ethels become Prime Minister through dogged persistence?
Answer me this, answer me this. Helen and Ollie, answer me this.
I am so garlicky today, listeners, that you can probably smell it through your headphones. Apologies.
Well, you may think that's impressive, Helen. How about this? I didn't brush my teeth last night. I didn't brush my teeth this morning.
No, and you're
then
still
I had the same lunch that you had.
Oh, Christ.
So that's worse, isn't
Why
it?
Why didn't you brush your teeth last night and this morning?
Couldn't be arsed.
No.
I was a bit drunk when I went to bed last night.
What was your excuse this morning? You were drunk?
In summary, I'd been to Edinburgh for the weekend. My bag with my overnight stuff was still in my bedroom. My girlfriend was still asleep in the bedroom, so I would have had to have woken her up to go in and get the toothbrush.
You've got a toothbrush here. You could have used that.
Yeah, I could. In fact, the whole time we're sitting, I could right now go downstairs and brush my teeth, but I haven't.
Couldn't be arsed with dental hygiene.
That
disgraceful.
Is well nasty.
I'm not setting myself up as a role model, Martin. I'm just telling it how it is. I'm shooting from the hip, and that's what... That's why you love us, isn't it, listeners? Because we tell it how it is.
And we've got halitosis.
We're like Oprah with bad breath.
Martin's not going to give you a big kiss now.
Yep, no way. That's another motivating factor.
No. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Here's a question from Rachel from Fife, who says, Ollie, why do you stink so high?
she knows all the way from Fife.
She says, I watched some of the Super Bowl last week. Ollie, answer me this. What's with the little stripes of black or white face paint under American football players' eyes? Is it just to make them look scary? Because Adam Ant just looked really scary, didn't he?
Well, actually, it is partly there, I think, to look scary. Like, it gets called war paint. But the real reason's pretty boring. It's to do with deflecting sunlight and stadium lights.
Oh, really? That works?
Well, if your head's under one of those massive helmets, then apparently, you know, tiny little bits of light can glare on you.
Wow.
And apparently, little black strips stop that from happening.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. But I think it is. It's just that it looks kind of hard, doesn't it?
Nelly used to have it in order to look a bit hard and to remind him of a dead friend, didn't he? You remember Nelly.
Was that the guy who used to wear plaster?
That's the thing I remember, is the plaster more than the stripes.
Shaving cuts.
Yeah. What happened to Nelly?
He's still around a bit.
Yeah, but he was hot, wasn't he, with two T's? Yeah.
It's his spelling. You can't be famous for that long when you can't even spell a simple word like here.
But 5 years ago, duetting with Justin Timberlake at the Playboy Mansion. Now
really?
Where is he? Where is he?
I think he packed up his trunk and said goodbye for circus.
Mark from Richmond in Virginia, that's in America, says, Helen, answer me this. If you're in a theatre, he means a cinema or picture house.
Oh, because they don't have theatrical theatres in America, is that what you're saying?
Well, they do, but they just put on Neil Simon plays that are based on telly. And you suddenly have to get up and move to the outside of a row from the centre.
I'm identifying with this motion.
Are you? I have to roll that through again. You suddenly have to get up and move to the outside of a row from the centre.
You're walking out of a film indignantly.
Oh, so it's like when you're going to the loo, for example.
Yes.
Right,
you're stuck right in the middle.
Yeah, okay, right. You're faced with a decision. You're faced with a decision, Helen.
Am I?
Yep.
Okay.
Whether to show your ass or your crotch to the people you have to move past. So answer me this, which method is preferable and why? Arse or crotch?
Well, I'd prefer just getting a seat on the aisle, personally, and
avoid this whole dilemma. Sometimes you don't have the choice, though,
sometimes
do you?
Sometimes you don't. I would say arse.
I agree.
Because
you don't have to look at them, for a start.
Yeah, exactly. Your shame is at least hidden on one side.
Yeah, and you can bend forwards away from them.
Well, that's just shoving your arse in their face.
It's something quite dark as well, and you'd be silhouetted, so it's not like they're looking right up your crack, or front crack.
Hi, Ellen and Ollie. This is Ben from Leeds here. Why does Cupid have a bow and arrow? It's so fucking stupid. What are they going to do, shoot someone in the arse with it?
He might well shoot them in the arse, if that's the accessible place. He shoots the arrows of love. Mm. Well, he's got two types of arrows, actually.
Has he?
Yeah, golden ones, which are for love, and leaden ones, which are for bonking.
No,
yeah. Really?
Wow. I only just learnt this.
Presumably this myth came about because when you fall in love with someone, yeah, it's as if you've been hit. This is often the metaphor that people say, isn't it? Yeah. By an arrow. You know, mm-hmm. something supernatural has come into your,
yes,
thinking.
Out of the blue.
It's an intervention. It's not a natural progression of your thinking.
Right.
Yes.
But doesn't that actually diminish the beauty of the person that you're attracted to slightly by saying that some weird kind of third party has been involved and got in there with some tools?
Oh, what, like if you'd written some incredible piece of music and you'd been on drugs at the time? So you're like, yeah, it was just the drugs talking.
Yeah, kind of. Or if, you know, you went to see a play and you said, oh yeah, I enjoyed that so much, it must have been the god Playus hitting me with his saucepan of play. But no, you just enjoyed it because it's good.
And also I read, I'd never heard this before, that Cupid also carries a torch with which to inflame the passion. So it's not even like the arrow's enough.
He's... A torch to inflame... Oh, a torch as in a lit piece of wood. Yeah, not like a modern thing from B&Q.
No, a wind-up torch.
Not a flashlight.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of tools on him. He'd need a utility belt or something.
Yeah.
Hard to wear when you're nude.
Anyway.
Fran from Birmingham says, I have an epic morality question.
Oh, good. That's what we're for. Epic morality questions.
Strap in. I was just, possibly accidentally, possibly deliberately, sent photos of a close friend provocatively displaying her boobies in Lady Garden. So, Ollie, answer me this. Is it morally acceptable to knock one out to these photos before I tell my friend? She is stunning in the photos. Or do I have to be all upstanding and ignore the overwhelming desire? I reckon Fran will have fallen to the urge by now.
Yeah,
don't
probably.
You?
Yeah.
Maybe your friend would be flattered that you've suddenly seen her in this dazzlingly attractive light. Maybe.
I suppose the question is, Fran, whether you let morality into the fray when you're beating off usually anyway. If when you're looking at pornography, you're thinking, where is this woman standing?
Has she been trafficked?
Exactly. Is she being paid? Is she doing this voluntarily? Is she actually turned on? If those kinds of things
come
into
your
head
anyway,
then it's reasonable that you'd be having those qualms now. If not, you're just a bit of a hypocrite, aren't you? Because it's only because you know this person that you're thinking like that. I mean, actually, a sexy picture is a sexy picture. I mean, it's up to you to consider how you respond within your usual parameters, I would say.
Why don't you even the score by sending this friend nude pictures of yourself?
Yeah, or best still, send them to us. We'll put them on the blog. Have you ever sent around filthy photographs of yourself? I was trying to think of a dignified way to ask that question, but there isn't one.
No, that would just be too hideous, wouldn't it?
Well, not to a boyfriend that's in love with you.
Even so, I mean, the pictures that I could take myself with my phone camera, say, even when I just take a picture of my own face, because it's got a kind of fisheye lens, it's just like I've got an enormous snout and then really wonky face. So I think the rest of my body would just look very peculiar, not very desirable.
My favourite pornographic website is called Enormous Snout, Ellen, so you actually fit perfectly into my dream.
MassiveSnout.com.
What about you? Have you ever sent aroused pictures?
I haven't, because I'd be too self-conscious. Like, I'd take the picture and then I'd have to go into Photoshop and touch some things up, and then I think once you've done that, you
blur, shop and pull.
Exactly, yeah.
Filled yourself in with magenta rather than boring skin colour.
Yeah, probably. I'd have to fake tan because... Yeah, even
slimming,
if
isn't it? Slimming.
That's right. Even if I've had a spray tan, it's rarely on that area.
Really? Do you have tan lines when you have a spray tan?
Yeah.
Really? Just to make it look more natural?
Well, okay, if I do it myself, then I have been known to rub it around that area. But the problem is that looks weird anyway because that's not in the sun. You know, if you're naturally in the sun, that's covered up, isn't it, by swimming trunks or whatever.
And you having bright orange balls, that's not that natural.
How have we gone onto my balls? Like, I was asking a straightforward question about you making a photo of yourself, and it's onto my testicles.
I'm really disappointed to find out that you haven't got a bright orange penis like the rest of your skin.
Oi! Shut up and answer me this. Come on then. Why don't you shut your ugly face? I'm not ugly, it's the condition. It's no condition, it's the ugliness, mate.
Answer me this. Podcast at googlemail.com. Answer me this.
Podcast at googlemail.com.
Objection, Your Honour. It's a question about jury duty.
They don't actually say that in British courts.
Well, there are so many supplementary questions I have about this, but that's because I know your answer to the first question.
Okay.
Let's do the first question first.
Okay.
The first question first is from Adam, who says, Helen, answer me this. Have any of you, i.e. you or me or Martin, ever been on jury duty? Answer, I haven't. Martin, have you?
No.
I have. I win. I'm on jury duty right now.
Helen's been on jury duty for the last 2 weeks. Hasn't been able to talk about it over the last two episodes because that's naughty.
Mm.
But by the time this episode comes out, it's all over. You've put numerous people away. So, let's go with Adam's questions first,
yes.
But I do have some of my own.
Okay.
Adam says, is there a way you can ask to be on jury duty?
In this country, no.
No, which is a bit like me saying with the Barb TV rating viewing figures the other week. I really would like to do that. You can't. You can't just ask.
This is all done through the electoral register, and there's a guy that I was doing it with who'd done it 3 times. Isn't that unfair?
So unfair.
Ollie Mann never got a go.
I never got a go. Neither has Adam. He says, I'm bored of waiting to get called and would love to be on a jury with a nice, juicy murder.
You don't get to choose your case either.
No.
What happens is they call in loads of people to do jury duty, all sit around in a big room being bored and bored and bored, and then they call 15 of you down to a court.
Yeah.
I assume you've been randomly selected. Of those 15, the judge has everyone's names on a little card and he picks 12 of the little cards, presumably to have as unbiased a selection as possible.
So it's a name out of a hat system.
Yes. Yes, and
which is extraordinary, isn't it? There's not something electronic involved or some deeper profiling than that.
No, but you're not allowed to cherry-pick the jury in this country. In America, you can to get the maximum chance of an innocent verdict.
Yeah.
The defendant can then object to the choice of a juror, but I think it's quite rare for them actually to do that. It'd probably have to be that they knew them. I was on one case that lasted a long time, and then our verdict took 2 days. So we were locked in a room for 2 days. Our phones were in a safe. Just trying to tussle out a verdict.
And that's the most productive day's work you've ever done, Helen.
That was really difficult because I was, you know, I avoid responsibility in life, Ollie.
And did you, in the jury room, did you play a part in swaying the verdict or were you swayed?
I was swayed.
Were you swayed?
I was swayed.
Wow.
But I was the first one swayed.
Were you?
And then everyone else fell.
First one swayed. That's like a reality format instead of Last Man Standing.
What, everyone has to join the band Swayed. But the first one actually gets to be the replacement Bernard Butler.
Okay. Did they say order, order in the court?
No. And no one pounded a little gavel. Nobody said objection. They don't do that.
No one said objection, Your Honour.
No one said the defence rests. But once someone did say something hilarious, the prosecution, she was asking a witness to describe a bike D-lock. And she said, and how big was the D-lock? Was it a big D? And the judge, the venerable judge, had this look of schoolboy mirth. Yeah. Because he is only human, after all.
Some things never change, do they?
They don't.
Innuendos are funny, and teachers don't know how to use the video machine. I bet that's the same in court as well.
No, they don't.
No.
They actually had to get a policeman who is one of the witnesses to get it to work.
Do they say, I therefore put it to you?
No one has said, I put it to you.
Right.
But that could just be the cases I've been on. I might have just been unlucky in the slogans.
Might have just missed the telly-friendly solicitors. And do the lawyers look at the jury when they're doing... They do.
Everything's addressed to you that isn't them directly questioning a witness.
Oh, that's very weird, isn't it? Because you can't really sort of half pay attention then.
There have been a couple of times where I've been nodding off.
Yeah.
I don't know whether this was noted. I think if I had nodded off, I would have got into trouble for contempt of court. Oh, this is weird as well. On the stairs up to the jury room, they've got the Crown Court Poetry Corner.
What?
With all these laminated bits of poetry on the wall. And you just think... That seems inappropriate.
Oh, I bet that's like the most well-meaning thing, though. I bet a committee who runs that court has thought, what can we do to really inspire people that are standing in this area?
We'll keep the drab decor.
Yeah.
We'll make it all depressing. We'll make the chairs uncomfortable.
We'll give £1,000 to a poet. That's going to make everyone feel happier.
Carol's got a laminator at home. Carol, do you mind?
I dreamed of a shining yellow book that was touched by Midas himself. It answered all my questions, even the ones about Humpty Dumpty, Bingo Wings and Bunny Boilers. Whether the Queen swallows or spits, and the book was called Answer Me This.
Becky in Manchester says, Ollie, answer me this. Why is Where's Wally called Where's Waldo in America? I had one of the Wally books in Spanish when I was younger. And even in Spanish, the title was ¿Dónde está Wally ahora? I don't speak Spanish, so I hope that's all right.
Oh, well, that's pretty good.
Why is it Wally in all countries other than America? And why do the Americans feel the need to change things?
Well, why do the Americans feel the need to change things is a very, very broad question.
TK Maxx, TJ Maxx.
Well, I was thinking
Lay's and Walker's crisps.
I was thinking more War of Independence, but I mean, you can take that back a long
foreign
way.
Foreign policy. Yeah.
I think the Lay's and Walker's crisps is more important than the War of Independence.
So I'll leave that to one side.
Thanks.
But I guess from a consumer point of view, the reason generally things are changed in America is just because they do market research and they're a bit more thorough about things. Because if you're introducing a product into America, that's a massive catchment area with millions of people, millions of different types of people across lots of states. So the author of Where's Wally is Martin Hanford. He's British.
It's got an author?
Yeah,
are there plot lines?
Illustrator, then.
Right.
The creator. And so he's British. It was called Where's Wally. That just sounds like a funny name. I think that's as much as he thought about it. That's all you need here.
And it alliterates.
Yeah. Whereas in America, they would have focus grouped it and said, no, Wally doesn't have as much resonance as Waldo.
It does not scan well with our 18 to 35 Hispanic population.
Exactly, that kind of thing. But what's quite interesting about it is... Waldo, I guess because of the size of the territory in the US, has become the kind of default name for Wally around the world. So actually, Becky's wrong when she says that it's called Wally in all countries other than America. In more countries, it's actually called Waldo.
I don't think she's really done a sample if she's just got the English version and the Spanish version.
Exactly.
There are a lot of other nations and languages.
Well, in fact, there are some that are neither Wally nor Waldo. In Hindi, it's called Where's Hetty. In Croatian, Where's Jura? Which is off the coast of Scotland, I believe. And in Germany, it's Where's Walter, which I think is the best.
Oh, that's a nice name.
But he's strangely German.
Where's Walter?
Walter was here this morning. Now he's gone missing. I have not found Walter. Just sounds better than Wally.
Well, isn't Wally just a diminutive of Walter in English anyway?
Yeah, I guess it is, yeah. Here's a weird thing.
Go on.
Nickelodeon had the film rights to make Where's Waldo into a live-action film.
It'd be a bit like the Third Born Identity film, I think.
Yeah. Well, it would obviously be shit. Unless...
There's no plot. There's no plot.
So they never made it.
Well, they haven't yet.
Universal have now bought it to make a film out of it. And I just think it's one of those things that, like, different companies are prepared to spend a few million every 10 years buying the film rights because it's a big brand. But no one wants to actually make that film. They just want to make sure none of their competitors make it.
It just sounds like classic sort of studio thinking.
Yeah, who would play Wally?
Oh.
In the old days, you'd have said Harold Ramis, but he's too old now.
Or John Cusack. But he's too old.
John Cusack would have been good. But he is, yeah.
Oh, who's the guy that plays Doc Emmett Brown? He'd be good.
He's way too old. Christopher Lloyd.
He'd be perfect.
What about John Krasinski?
Oh, I don't know who that is.
He plays the Martin Freeman equivalent in The American Office.
Okay, that sounds about right.
He's tall, but he's got that slightly kind of dejected physical stance.
Mm. Well, it's interesting what you do to the character by casting different actors, though, isn't it? Like, imagine Steve Buscemi was Waldo.
Oh, my God. He'd become very sinister.
Suddenly, his whole quest to go around the world melting into the background would seem very sinister.
Here's a question from Jeff in Portsmouth, who says, I work in a very large office with over 2,000 desks.
Bloody hell.
Each desk has its own chair.
Good.
Wow.
I'm glad to hear that the offices of Portsmouth are equally as well kitted out as ours here in the big smoke.
Every sack had 7 cats. Each cat had 7 kits.
They've really splashed out, haven't they? A chair for every desk.
Some of the people who work here require a specialist chair if they're disabled or have a bad back, etc.
That seems fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Most of these special chairs will have the user's name and a very brief description as to why they need this chair written on the back to stop people using and adjusting the chairs. However, I have noticed that the description on one chair in particular is, do not adjust, mother of four. So, Ollie, answer me this. Why would a woman need a specialist chair just because she's had 4 children? And what could possibly happen if she sat on a regular chair? Could it be that her pelvic floor would finally collapse completely?
Yeah, well, maybe she's just demonstrated by having 4 children that she just has no self-control whatsoever and she'd begin fornicating with a regular chair.
She might give birth to little half-chair, half-human beasts.
I think more likely her back has probably been buggered by successive births.
Yeah.
I mean, that's possible, isn't it?
Or maybe she's got such a busy home life. She can't be arsed with this shit trying to adjust her chair every morning.
I did used to get very protective of my office chair.
Well, you have a bad back.
Yeah.
I do, but I never used that as a weapon in the office. I never said, I've got a bad back, so I need a special chair. But I just made sure that I stole a chair whenever a good chair came up, and then I'd get very angry when someone stole it back off me.
Bloody only child.
I'm aware of the hypocrisy of that.
Ollie and I, when we were in BBC Five Live, doing the show that we do, there's a ladies' chair there, and the back is entirely covered in Tippex notices about whose chair it is and why you should
not
steal it.
That is extraordinary, isn't it?
So you can just tell the days and weeks and months and years of rage that have resulted in this chair
a whole
back
bottle
rant.
Of Tippex.
So is she like Guy Pearce in Memento?
I think it's more that she's Madam No-Mates now in the office, because everyone's like, God, stop being such a bitch about the chair.
Although I do have another theory for Jeff in Portsmouth's bizarre chair.
Go on.
So it says, do not adjust, comma, mother of four. What if grammatically that means, health warning, if you're a mother of four, do not adjust this chair, because you could do yourself in. Do not adjust, mother of four.
That is possible with the punctuation.
Then it's considerate, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I like how you've reinterpreted it as a caring thing rather than a passive-aggressive thing.
I'm a glass-half-full kind of guy.
Hello, it's former Prime Minister and Iron Lady Margaret Thatcher here. While waiting to die, I tune the wireless to answermethispodcast.com and watch Loose Women with the sound down. Girl power!
Tilly from Exeter says, on Monday, it was my brother's 18th birthday.
Brilliant.
So, Helen, answer me this. Will you do a shout-out for him?
It's not really what we do. It's not shout-out me this, is it?
No, that's right. Nope. I'd say no.
Sorry. Sorry, even with this heartfelt plea, we can't.
Denied. But she continues with the second question. If London Bridge is still standing, it definitely is, why is there a song about it falling down?
What is she talking about? Like, the current concrete monstrosity is 20th century, and this is a nursery rhyme that is from the mid-1700s.
Yeah. There's my best friend at school, when he used to sing London Bridge, he used to go, London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down, London Bridge is falling down, and then he went, all in London. And I was like, no, it's My Fair Lady.
That's
like,
so
what?
Sweet.
No, it's all in London.
Maybe he'd been to Lake Havasu City on the borders of California and Arizona and seen...
Keep the distinction clear.
He'd seen the old London Bridge.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He wants to make it clear that that one is fine. It's not falling down on the spring breakers and people doing water sports under it. It's fine.
Now, the bridge that fell down in the mid-1700s, that's not the one that's in California either, is it?
No bridge fell down in the mid-1700s.
Oh, okay.
So many London bridges have fallen down.
Take it back. Take it back to the nursery rhyme.
Before the nursery rhyme, Molly, there's been a bridge there for about 2,000 years. The Romans put up the first one in about 50 AD.
Right.
Then that fell down. Then Queen Boadicea destroyed another version in 60 AD. And then the Romans built a new one, and that fell into disrepair when the Roman Empire disintegrated. And then there was no need for a new bridge because London had kind of dissipated as well. And it was
there's always a need.
No, because the Thames was being used.
South Londoners just trying to keep yourself distant from everyone else.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, we've got a lot more space down here. Cheap property prices. No, we want a bridge, Helen.
No, they didn't, because the Thames was a barrier between two hostile kingdoms, Mercia and Wessex.
Yeah, I totally knew that.
And then more bridges were built and pulled down. The Saxons built one, and then Norwegian Prince Olaf pulled it down to help protect King Ethelred from invading troops. So that might be the one that they're talking about in the rhyme. But then,
up and down like a horse draws London Bridge, isn't it?
And then more bridges were destroyed, one by tornado, lot by fire.
Tornado? Right.
Yes.
In London?
Yes. And then there was one that lasted for about 600 years. This was a stone one.
That's quite a famous one, isn't it? Because if you look up old sort of antiquarian maps of London, you see, and it's got houses on it.
It's up to seven stories.
It's
amazing.
Like one of those hotels in the Maldives or something that are on stalks, you know, with water flowing underneath them.
Yeah, people used to go scuba diving. They did actually used to have water wheels underneath for grinding grain.
Why did they stop building houses? It would be so cool to live on London Bridge. Imagine that.
Because it was quite dangerous. It was a fire hazard. There were a lot of fires in those buildings.
Oh, really?
In fact, you can still see bridges like that in Florence, the Ponte Vecchio over the Arno.
Yeah, you can, can't you?
They're not seven stories high, those buildings. They're mainly selling cheap jewellery.
Imagine, wouldn't it be cool if, like, if you worked in Canary Wharf, you could just swim to work?
Yeah.
Just jump out of your bedroom window and swim to work.
You might die. Yeah. It'd be fun.
Probably would die.
Same goes with the tube.
So that one was getting quite decrepit and had been a lot weakened. So
is that the one that's now in America?
So it was then replaced by another stone one, which was so heavily used that it started sinking, and that is the one that's in Lake Havasu City.
When was that one built?
It was officially opened in 1831.
Oh, okay, so pretty old then.
And then it was put on the market in 1967.
And why did they buy it in California?
And why did they sell it?
For what reason did they want it?
Well, it was a crazy Missourian entrepreneur called Robert McCulloch, who made a lot of money off oil. He wanted an attraction to put his town on the map. And thought, all right, I'll buy London Bridge.
And then it worked, didn't it? Because you're going on your honeymoon, right?
We are going. We're not going for the whole honeymoon to Lake Havasu City.
Spring break!
I guess that is a bit like Americans coming to London and going to see Wicked, though, isn't it?
Just Wicked and then going home.
Yeah.
What I find amazing about that is that it's in a desert and they had to basically build a man-made lake for the bridge to go over.
Yeah, so now it's a water sports attraction town.
Wow.
I think he had to lay on free flights to the city as well for quite a long time to get people to go there.
Right, final piece of London Bridge trivia.
Is it about Fergie's song London Bridge?
No.
In which Tower Bridge is featured heavily in the video?
It is, isn't it?
Silly no. Fergie idiot.
Not about that. It's about the current London Bridge, which I believe was built in the 70s.
Not nice, is it?
Why was it allowed? How was it allowed to be so ugly?
Because in the 60s and 70s, a lot of rotten structures were put up, and they probably thought, this looks modern.
But can you imagine that happening? Like, if they designed a bridge now, yes, it would be in the papers about how many millions had been squandered on getting some trendy artist to design it. But it would be nice, wouldn't it?
But you say that, but the Millennium Bridge is the most recent one, and I'm sure it would cost the taxpayer a lot of money, but it's a really cool bridge.
It's a cool bridge,
It's a really cool bridge.
Yeah, I agree.
Apparently a British warship crashed into London Bridge in 1984. So it's just like...
Wow.
Every power of the world wants this bridge to fall down periodically. Maybe this warship thought, this is ugly, let's get a nicer bridge. Bang!
It was Paris in the spring of 1898. Two children paddled gaily in the Seine. One giggled like a girl, the other was a girl, and their names were Olivier and Hélène.
Surprise! It's an email from Katerina in Zurich.
No way! Who says,
tonight, a group of us, that's six middle-aged expats in Zurich...
Already I envy her life.
It's our target demographic, Hélène. Are you listening, advertisers? This is who we get on this show.
Do you think they're all diplomats?
We were enjoying ourselves at a dinner party.
Perfect so far. Yes. It's like the beginning of Melinda and Melinda, isn't it?
And started talking about the Swiss national hero, Roger Federer.
I love the way you said that.
Thank you.
I thought you'd say William Tell.
Well, you're getting to the question. And quickly concluded that he is now the most famous Swiss person of all time. It is definitely no longer William Tell. It is Dear Roger, and kudos to him for not only being sensationally talented, but also supremely nice.
Really? Because he seems like a bit of a sore loser whenever Nadal beats him at Wimbledon.
That led us to wonder who the most famous American person, dead or alive, is. But we couldn't agree whether it would be Michael Jackson...
Not bad.
O.J. Simpson...
Wouldn't have thought so.
That's a very specific period of history, isn't it? JFK, fair enough.
Yeah, maybe.
Or even perhaps Ronald Reagan.
Again, I think very specific to people that were alive in the 80s.
I can see how he'd be a big name maybe in Russia. I can't imagine people in Africa really care about Ronald Reagan. Yeah. So surely there's only one way to find out to ask you. So Hélène, answer me this. Who is the most famous American of all time?
That is really hard.
Yeah.
This is like when people say, what's the greatest album of all time? And it's usually something that's been released in the last 5 years. Yeah. It's never of all time.
Or what's your most embarrassing moment of all time? And it's like, there's I don't even know where to begin. Yeah, I couldn't even give you today's most embarrassing moment.
I'd imagine that today, probably on recognisability, it's either going to be Obama or Madonna.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think actually all time, you know, I think Obama might even be in the all-time list thus far. Not that I'm saying he'll still be there in 100 years.
He's had more international spread than I think
he's had a lot of press, hasn't he? Yeah. I reckon Elvis as well. Let's not forget Elvis.
Oh, that is good. This most famous Swiss person thing reminds me of when I was at school and there was a Belgian-born kid in my class. And one of our teachers rather cruelly said, yeah, but who's the most famous person from Belgium? I bet you can't think of anyone who's not a tennis player.
Jesus, that's harsh, isn't it?
Who's your most famous person from Belgium?
Yeah, they've got a point, but I'm just saying, if I was Belgian...
I'd say Poirot, his fictional... Yeah.
Solwax?
Are they Belgian?
Yeah. But, you know, still not that famous, are they?
They've had their time.
More famous as too many DJs than as Solwax, I'd say.
Again, they've had their time.
Yeah, even then, it's still within a limited group, isn't it?
Early noughties, really.
See, for Britain, it's easy, isn't it? It's got to be Shakespeare.
Yeah, but then he might not have even existed, Martin.
I think the Queen has had a lot of attention.
She gets a lot of press.
That's true.
Both QE2 and Victoria, possibly more famous than Shakespeare. Again, QE2. Internationally, like I reckon, if you go to like Malawi 50 years ago, they might not know Shakespeare, but they'd probably know Victoria or Elizabeth.
Yeah, I reckon Victoria, because we had a lot of colonies then, and those colonies would probably have had to use money with her face on it.
Yeah. But if you're allowed fictional characters, then possibly Harry Potter.
Yes.
Like I'd say Harry Potter is probably up there with the Queen and Shakespeare.
Well, listeners, if you've got an opinion as to the most famous American or British or Swiss or what the hell, Belgian person ever, then let us know.
Yeah, let us know. And don't say Mark Foster, director of Monsters Ball and Quantum of Solace for Swiss person, because I reckon Federer is more famous.
Is he Swiss?
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. That's why I brought it up. But he's not as famous.
I wouldn't have known his name.
No. No one would bring him up. I just thought it was an interesting fact. And
up.
I hadn't got it.
You
I know, but I wanted to
up.
Mention the fact because it's an interesting fact.
Okay. Only Ollie Mann is allowed to
Don't
bring up
that.
Mark Foster. But you are allowed to cite other people, or you're also allowed to send us a question.
Yeah,
of
you
course,
can totally do that.
Via the email and the Skype and the phone, as usual. So get onto our website to find out what those are. And that website is...
AnswerMeThisPodcast.com,
where you can also buy our app for iPhone, iPod Touch and Android. If you haven't been getting our episodes via iTunes as quickly as you should...
It's not our fault.
It's not our fault. And they are usually on the app as soon as they come out. That's just genuine consumer advice for you. And we'll see you next week. Look forward to it. Bye!